Now, I know there's a study out there. In fact, I was doing some research recently on ADD and ADHD, and there's a study that a lot of people quote that says that they know now that it's not sugar-related. But when you look at the study, it actually proves that, not that sugar doesn't cause it, but that when you take kids off sugar, that it's not eliminated. In other words, kind of the analogy is, if you run over a nail with your car, you know, it punctures a hole in the tire, you take that nail out and the hole's still there. Doesn't that seem like kind of a leap of logic to you?
Well, the mistakes that are made in these studies on sugar and hyperactivity and learning disabilities, unfortunately, Blake, are set up by pharmaceutical companies who want to sell their drugs. And the worst of the worst studies are ones where they take normal kids who are not affected by sugar, for whatever reason, they're supplementing properly, they're getting enough nutrition, they were breastfed, and sugar really doesn't bother them. And they take 50 of these kids and they give them sugar and nothing happens. They say, well, there you go. And so what they need to do is take kids who have sensitivities to sugar, who do have ADD, ADHD, get them off of sugar for a month, clean them up, and show how good they can be and how well they study and so forth, then put them back on sugar. And you'll see a huge difference. Boy, they go off the roof. They're bouncing around the walls like Gerald McBoing Boing. They can't sit still. Their ability to learn and retain things drops to zero. And that's what you need to do to make a successful experiment. Now, one of the things that used to happen when I practiced in Portland, Oregon, were this is just when parents were beginning to feel the pressure of teachers. Teachers who had these disruptive kids in school were learning about Ritalin at that time, back in the late 70s and early 80s. And teachers would say, look, you got to get this kid on Ritalin. And the parent would say, well, no, I'm not going to do that. My kid's okay. My kid's normal when they leave the house in the morning. I don't know what you're doing to my kid, but he's normal when he leaves the house. My kid doesn't have hyperactivity. And the teacher then would go to either the city or the county or the state child protective services and demand that the kid get put on Ritalin, and they'd have to go to court. And so the parents were always coming to me to show that the kid was normal. And what I learned, you'll find in the book, Rare Earths Been Cures, in chapters 4, 5, and 6, totally deals with this and actually shows parents how to diagnose ADD and ADHD themselves, hyperactivity and learning disabilities. You can do this very easily, and the book teaches you how to do that. Now, I'll come back and give a short version on how to do it. But to make a long story short, I was able to prove to judges that this was something. The kid was normal when he left the home, had slept for 8 hours, and had been fasting since dinner the night before. Woke up normal, had normal behavior, kissed mom and dad, hugged him, was just a nice little kid. But he had sugar frosted flakes for breakfast. Maybe even had a little bit of Coca-Cola for breakfast. Maybe had apple juice for breakfast. Maybe had a Pop-Tart or a jelly donut for breakfast. And then went to school. Well, about 10 o'clock, that kid's going to be bouncing off the wall, can't sit still, can't retain anything they've read, and is very disruptive, sometimes very aggressive and mean. And this is what the teacher is seeing at 10 o'clock. And so the short version of how to determine this yourself, if a doctor says, look, your kid's got learning disabilities or hyperactivity, ADD, ADHD, whatever it might be, the thing you can do is when the child wakes up in the morning, have them draw their favorite picture. And I like animals. Kids like animals, and they draw pretty good pictures of animals. And then you give them their typical breakfast, sugar frosted flakes, Captain Crunch, Cocoa Puffs. You give them whatever they might have to drink, which might be apple juice or Tang. You don't see much Tang anymore, but Tang, things like that. Lots of sugar in it, donuts, Pop-Tarts, waffles with syrup on it. And then an hour later, ask them to draw that same animal, but don't leave the picture in front of them. Oh, you drew a real nice panda before. Why don't you draw me a panda again? But hide the first picture. And you'll notice a huge difference between the first panda and the second one. The second one probably won't even look remotely like it. It might even look like a computer or a car or something, totally disorientated from what the original picture they look from. And the one I like that I use in the book, Rare Earths Been Cures, the child was 6 years old, in fact was my own child, drew a giraffe, beautiful giraffe, long neck, nice little square spots all over the giraffe, long legs, no doubt about it, anybody could recognize the six-year-old drawing of a giraffe. Hour and a half later, after having sugar frosted flakes for breakfast and apple juice, said, okay, draw me a giraffe again. Now it looked like a shmoo. I don't know if you're old enough to remember what a shmoo looked like, but it was a little character in the Little Abner cartoon thing. It looked like a bowling pin. It was a little animal. It looked like a bowling pin. A little creature looked like a bowling pin. And the spots were now just taking the pen in his hand and stabbing spots. The spots were just little dots that he stabbed all over this shmoo or bowling pin looking animal compared to the giraffe an hour and a half earlier. Same kid, just an hour and a half after consuming sugar for breakfast. Very, very dramatic for the parent to see this, for the judge to see this, and very, very dramatic for the child to see this. Say, this is what happened to you when you ate sugar. Sugar is bad for you. Sugar causes this problem. Sugar causes you to be disruptive. Your friends don't like it when you're that way. Your teacher gets angry with you. You get bad grades. You're going to get punished when you're disruptive. And so if you avoid sugar, you're going to be like this first picture. You're going to be doing things right. And I like to walk into some of these fast food restaurants, like Denny's, for instance, or grocery stores during holidays like Thanksgiving or Halloween. And you see all these drawings. You could even go into schools, and I like to go to the kindergarten classes where they have all these drawings taped on the wall. And whether it's a turkey or pilgrims or pumpkins or Easter eggs or whatever it might be, you'll find that I can pick out the kids with ADD, ADHD just from looking at their drawings. The ones who don't have ADD or ADHD, they're very nice as far as their color choices, very good color choices. They stay in the lines on their coloring projects. The ones who have ADD or ADHD, they'll pick a very dark color, usually red, purple, black, brown, dark blue, dark green, and they just scribble all over the place. It has no, the color choices have no relationship to what the picture is, like a dark purple pumpkin, and the kid just scribbles all over the page with no attempt to stay in the lines. They take that same child the next day, keep him off his sugar, and give him the same choices of colors in the same picture, and it'll be totally different. They'll stay in the lines, they'll have the right choices, they'll pick orange for the pumpkin, and they'll make attempts to stay in the lines as opposed to the day before where they had sugar for breakfast, and they took a dark color and scribbled all over the page. And these are simple little diagnostic things that parents can do, and I show these things before and afters very clearly in the book Rare Herbs and Cures, chapters 4, 5, and 6. I saw so many of these kids. I literally saw thousands of them over the years that I practiced in Portland, Oregon, because I got a reputation that I could solve their problems. And people would send them to me from Canada, from Mexico, from eastern and central part of the United States. They all came to my little clinic in Portland, Oregon, because I got well known for solving their problems. But it's very simple. No sugar, natural or processed. There's no good sugar for these kids. And then you supplement them with all the known essential nutrients. I like to give them enzymes. I like to give them some antioxidants, which you can find like in grapeseed extracts or green tea, decaffeinated green tea. You don't want to give them caffeine. And you give them all the known essential nutrients plus the antioxidants, digestive enzymes, and they do extremely well. These kids go on and have normal lives. Their IQs go up. They are very good learners. They're very good citizens, not disruptive anymore, very functional both in the family, at class, and at work.